Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next, postwrestling.com, Apple Podcast, whatever podcast app you're using. But this is a special Up Next tradition.
Yes, this is year five of our annual Halloween review.
Yes. Ooh, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. We started, 5 years ago with our very first movie review. In the original Halloween, a favorite of both of ours, John yes. Carpenter's classic, what's the often imitated but never
duplicated?
Duplicated, all of that stuff. Yeah, from 1978, classic story of a boy who killed his parents and sister and
wants to sleep with the sister. No, wants to kill.
Went to a psychiatric hospital and then escaped from there and then. Kill people on Halloween. Wow. You know, classic.
Yeah, fun family stuff. That's a famous story. Well, no, it's a movie that we've talked about every year. It's become a tradition here for Halloween. So we're giving it to you a little early so you can celebrate this weekend. Or maybe you're listening to this, like, I don't know, in December. It's like Christmas time. You're like, oh, I never listened to this one, so I'm going to go check it back. Hey, welcome. We're still in spooky season.
We are.
We are indeed, full effect. We're recording this the weekend. This is Halloween weekend.
You could listen to this anytime.
Yeah.
Really. It's timeless, Halloween 5.
Yeah, Halloween 5 is timeless. That's the word I'd use. We're in our element when we talk about spooky season. We're enjoying it. We have Halloween costumes planned, parties and the fun stuff. Maybe you're a homebody, maybe giving out candy's fun. I like all different types of like Halloween traditions, and we hope maybe listening to this has become a tradition to
certainly a tradition of ours and one of my favorite shows to do every year.
Because yeah.
I do love these movies.
Yeah.
And whether good, whether bad, whether in the middle, I always enjoy these Halloween films. And it's fun. I always finish it, and I'm kind of like, oh, man, I don't really want to wait a whole year to
I want to know what happens.
I need to see the curse.
Who is the man in black?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, this has been quite anticipated after the cliffhanger of Halloween 4.
Wow.
Where Jamie Lloyd, Michael Myers' niece, at the end of the film, picks up. Puts on her clown mask, yeah. picks up her knife, and stabs her stepmother in the bath.
Damn.
And surely, like, going on, it's going to be, man, we've got a whole new generation, a new Michael Myers. Jamie Lloyd is going to be on a rampage. She's going to be killing babysitters and wow. and teens and more people from her family. She's going to team up with her uncle, who hopefully survived that dynamite explosion at the end of the last one. And they're
was
just
it
gonna,
quicksand or something?
They're just going to tear up Haddonfield, Illinois. Oh wait, no, that doesn't happen.
No, they don't. They don't do that plot. They wait years later and give it to someone else.
Yeah.
Here's a random character that you'll do all that stuff that we didn't do that one time. Yeah. Halloween Kills came out last year, and Halloween Ends just came out this year. So it is still topical that we talk about these movies, because they'll still crank these movies out nonstop. I guarantee you that the second Halloween Ends was released, the rights were switched back to the original producers. And, you know, they had like five people like, all right, well, here's the next one. Here's our version that we're going to work on. And they're properly going through. It's like Santa Claus. He works the whole year to finally get to like his time. I feel like that's the people who make these movies. Like, all right, what do we got next? What can we do? I watched a bunch of interviews. I think it was ABC that did this special with Blumhouse, where they recently just had like bunch of different celebrities. They visited on different movie sets and asked them, like, hey, what are your thoughts on Halloween and the series and coming to an end and all this stuff? And so many celebrities were like, oh, man, like, I know I'm an actor or a director or whatever, but, like, grew up watching Halloween movies. And they give their, like, thoughts and things like that. And, like, multiple people were like, oh, like, they're never not going to make this movie.
Yeah, yeah,
like, I'm probably going to do this interview and get offered a role is what they're, like, saying.
It's like any franchise you see with like, Spider-Man. The reason why we've had so many Spider-Man films is the like the rights can go to someone else or whoever. So like Halloween is a proven commodity at this point, especially all you need to do is release a film in October and you're like, ah, all right, probably not going to be any good, but I'll give my $15 and go and see this new Halloween film. And I think there's always that hope and expectation that it might be good. I quite enjoyed the 2018 one.
Yeah.
I think we'll be coming up to like H2O in a couple of years, which is pretty fun. And the thing that really disappointed me with the new set is that they filmed 2 and 3 back to back. You would have thought there would have been more of a cohesive story with this like new trilogy.
Yeah, you literally filmed them in the same at the same time.
At the same time.
So like what?
Why is there not as much like synergy there between the three? It's bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, without trying to go into a review of that and give that away, it's like they definitely. It's almost like they added stuff afterwards to change. I don't know.
Feels like you did Halloween Kills, and then you go, all right, what do we do in the next one? Whereas you would have thought you'd have written essentially a two-part story, right? That you, like a Infinity War and Endgame. It's one story that you have planned out, and you split it across two films. So very, very bizarre. But we're talking about the second part of a different trilogy.
Yeah,
Thorn trilogy.
So this is part of the Thorn trilogy. We kicked this trilogy off last year reviewing Halloween 4. Shout out to Post Wrestling's John Pollock, who said he absolutely loved that review. So hey, hope you're liking this one too.
I hope he's probably having a sat happy down right now watching Halloween 5.
And then last year he messaged us like, "Hey, I'm watching H2O," and we were at like the same scene at our home. It wasn't on TV. We just both put the movie on. We'll get him on one time for.
Yeah.
I wonder which one's his favorite. I think he's told us. Probably the original.
I think the original. Yeah.
So like there's different storylines. The Halloween Ends storyline is a completely different trilogy that completely ignores this trilogy. This trilogy never existed, according to the new one. So like this is totally like another like entity of its own with the different, like one movie has one timeline where it's just the first movie. Mm-hmm. Another timeline where it's the second movie, this fourth movie, fifth, sixth movie. Then there's a timeline that's the first, second, and H2O. Yeah. Then there's the new trilogy that's the first, then 2018, then...
I'm trying to remember if...
Confusing.
I'm trying to remember in H2O, because there's just a throwaway line in 4 that Laurie and her partner die in a road accident.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I can't remember in H2O whether they bring that up at all or whether... Is it just my imagination that there's something like she faked that to just get away from Haddonfield and stuff?
I can't remember now.
Maybe. I mean, I guess we'll find out in 2024.
Yeah, something like that,
when we rewatch that film.
Yeah, that one... See, like, that one... we grew up in the 90s and that one came out in, like, the late 90s. So it felt like... That one was the one that, like, growing up, I always, like, watched on TV in 2000s and stuff like that. But I could say the same thing for this trilogy as well. AMC would play 4, 5, and 6 and then play them again and again. And then go, hey, and then we're playing H2O. And here's, if there's time, Resurrection. And then go back to the three.
Like, I imagine these ones are maybe the cheapest.
The cheapest ones.
I mean, this one had the lowest international release.
Yeah.
Not released in many countries at all. In a lot of places, like I believe the UK even, which you would have thought would have been a big market, was straight to VHS.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And didn't do particularly well financially either.
Yeah, like again, I remember this one being on TV all the time, and even as a kid I always preferred I always thought like the first and the second one were, I think the second one, we did a review of it in the hospital and stuff, was as a kid I always thought that was the scariest one. And then we got to 4 and I was like, okay, I can kind of get into that, I guess. And then even as a kid, I think this one was my least favorite. Considering what was out, you know, the newest ones hadn't been out yet.
Yeah.
Rob Zombie's, like, hadn't been out yet. So I always, even as when I would marathon these, I'd be like, did we really need this? Did we really need a lot of these? But did we really need the one in this trilogy? Because we were getting ready to review this the other day, and we're like, oh, got to watch Halloween 5 this for a review. And then we were talking, and we said, what happens in this one? And I go, oh, it's the one with the magic? And you're like, no, that's the sixth one. And I go, oh, okay, cool. It's the one with Paul Rudd. You go, nope, that's also the sixth one. And then you went, it's the one where she's
a mute.
Yeah. And I went, oh yeah, that one.
I don't mind this one as much as, I mean, I still think this is in the
lower tier.
I have a higher expectation
of
films being made today, especially horror, because we've had some really good, like, we've seen what like Jordan Peele's done with horror, sure. Things like this. And when you hear like, a name like Danny McBride is attached and is writing. Yeah. You're like, okay, that's a pretty big name to be writing.
Interesting names, considering.
And it's got a big budget and that kind of thing. So I expect more. There's something about, yeah, I hear that this was straight to DVD in a lot of, VHS in a lot of countries and stuff. My expectations are low. So I'm kind of going into it with that. But I would say, even as a kid watching this, I mean, I was probably like 13, something like that, when I watched this film, I'm going, wait, you really didn't capitalize on the end of the last film.
No.
And doing some digging, a lot of the actors and like writers and stuff said the same thing. There was the original script was, this was meant to be around like 5-6 years later. And Jamie Lloyd is now a like teen.
Yeah.
And there's a script where she's on a, like, she is the new Michael Myers.
Right.
And kind of it's almost a bit like Freddy versus Jason, where you're treading on my territory. So she's killing people and Michael's pissed off because she's killing people he wants to kill, that kind of thing. So there was that story going on. And then the director of Four, I believe, promised Danielle Harris, who plays Jamie Lloyd, that she could reprise the role.
Okay.
And they're like, I don't know how we're going to get around like a 9-year-old doing all this stuff, being this killer. I don't think it would work as well. So this went through a lot of changes. And then they ended up going with this thing that, like, there's this like psychic connection between the two.
Yep.
And they, right from her opening scene, she's already baby-faced, you know? She's in a like a psychiatric hospital for children.
It's almost like the last...
She's having these nightmares.
Yeah, the last one's a dusty finish. The last one's like, hey, this crazy swerve at the end.
And I love the end of the last one. Yeah, I think the end of Four is really, really strong. And I thought there was so much more fun they could have had with this one going in that direction.
And then and then looking at Halloween Ends, you know, all the way now in 2022, it's like they took things from all the other movies. There's so many nods to like all the other movies. I found watching Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends, I'm like, oh, they did that because it's this from this movie, or there's the mask from the third one, or like things like that. They, like, no spoilers, but they use stuff referring to psychokinetic links and stupidity like that, which I go, that's kind of weird.
Well, I think spoilers for the new ones, but had the character of Corey been introduced in
the first or second
Halloween, or even Halloween Kills, and you could essentially do this Jamie Lloyd story with Corey, I think I might have been a bit more into it.
Yeah,
like if he was the granddaughter's boyfriend from the first film, and he's considered a, you know, your usual regular kind of hero, and starts to go down this path, I think we still needed more Michael. But I think it would have been a bit less, sorry, who the fuck is this kid?
Yeah.
And why do I care?
You could have, like, again, not spoiling anything still, but you could have done it where, you know, in the first the first Halloween one that just came out, the 2018 one, you had the fact that the granddaughter is dating this guy.
Mm.
And in any scene with Michael and this granddaughter, the granddaughter happens to be with her boyfriend.
Mm.
Corey. So when you think Michael keeps trying to go after the granddaughter, the twist in Halloween Kills or Halloween Ends is, nah, I'm trying to talk to my grandson, or like something like that. Like, you swerve it, like,
nephew or whatever.
Actually, no, I'm trying to make sure my blood is actually still killing, or something, like, literally anything other than what they do.
As we kind of said, the fact you had, I know 2018 was meant to be a standalone. Who are we kidding? It's Hollywood.
It is, but
it was, at the time, they weren't writing this with plans of 2 and 3.
Right.
But certainly, once you go into Kills, And I think they set it up perfectly at the end of Halloween 4 to have, I mean, just look at even the costume's pretty cool of her in the clown.
The classic clown
costume,
yeah.
That young Michael wears at the beginning of Halloween 1. And it's on the poster of this film, which, I mean, apart from the flashback where
you don't see that.
She doesn't wear this at all. She's in her princess dress the whole time. And yeah, it's a real like missed opportunity, I think.
Yeah, you could tell that like this feels like a straight to VHS movie when you watch this one comparing it to some of the other ones. But at the time, I think this was where the like genre was going. This is 1989. Like we already got crazy advancements in all of the things. The slasher thing has kind of moved on. Like your aliens and stuff, like kind of stepped up and made things like way out of this world. Like think about this. This is from 1989. Like then we have the Jurassic Park review that's out on our Patreon this weekend. And like that's from 93 and that looks incredible. T2 Judgment Day is like 90 or 91. That movie's insane in the way it looks and everything. Like this one, again, the budget, obviously a fraction, a point decimal of, you know, some of these big movies, but it still looks like just made for TV, like shitty. Like, I don't know how, you know how to describe, there's something about when you watch a movie that is that way.
Yeah.
It instantly.
I mean, I wouldn't say these films need big effects or anything.
No, but something about the newer ones is they go, hey, like obviously it's, you know, in today's age, let's put some actual money into the way we shoot.
It looks good. Yeah. Even the last one, it's looks aesthetically good. Pleasing to look
exactly.
at. There's some thoughts, the lighting.
Yeah.
I'm thinking there's a lot of those shots where it's like kind of sunset in the new one.
Like,
it looks really nice.
Like the original. I think the original, you know, John Carpenter was an absolute genius in some of the things that he shot for that one, including certain drone shots and or whatever, the tracking shots, which they'd bring back around. But this is just, how can we make money without spending money? Okay, well, we have a killer who can kill people. That's just what it felt like.
It was also, like, pretty rushed because the last film came out in 88 and was a success. So they went, right, we got to get right on to making one and get it out for next Halloween.
Wow.
And, yeah, so it had a budget of $5 million. It ended up grossing just over $11.5 million. So it did make money, not a whole load of money, but it did get its money back. But, yeah, it was very much rushed, which is interesting because I think the next one doesn't come until 1995. So,
yeah, I remember.
Clearly, this didn't do very well. You probably have the 2-3 years of going, okay, Halloween's kind of done, and then wait, we should probably bring this back, spend a bit more time on it, and do the curse.
Yeah, and Danielle Harris is probably not even in that one, right? She's not.
It's a different actor.
Who plays Jamie?
Yeah.
No, Jamie's not even in it.
I think Jamie's in it.
JC Brandy plays Jamie Lord. I have no idea who that is, but wow, interesting. That's wild. Yeah, that is really lazy. Like, hey, let's quickly spin this around so we can have it out by next Halloween. We just made money here. These people will be stupid enough to go buy it again.
But then again, like going to kind of what we just said and saying about how just the shots aren't as good, but it is, as far as filmmaking goes, relatively easy to make.
Yeah.
Like a student could make these films.
Sure.
You know, sure, there's a difference between a student and like a world-class director who can make them good and look good. But it's, you just need some fake blood, some deaths, might set a car on fire. That's about as crazy as you're going to get, and a man in a mask. So I can see it totally being one where they go, we could probably, even if it's not great, we could rush something out and make some money from it.
Yeah. The one plus, I mean, he's definitely like become typecast since the original, but I mean, Donald Pleasance as Dr. Loomis in these old movies, like, is what, like, basically was the only remaining heart and kind of soul in it. Like, you know, his acting, again, is by this point, like, way over the top. But that's just how he acts in, like, everything, right? So it is unfortunate, obviously, you know, years have passed and he's passed away and stuff like that. But I really was like, it's bummed that he finished off with these ones that are really shit, this trilogy, when, like, H2O, if he had a part in that, like, obviously he passed away before that one came out. Like, oh, man, like, it's like, even the newer ones, again, you know, this is 40 years later, how fucking, like, great. And I thought in Halloween Kills, when they did the
flashback.
Like CGI of him. Yeah. I was like, that's him. That looks exactly like him. It was
wasn't
incredible.
Wasn't it a mix of an actor that looked like him?
Yeah.
Wasn't it? And, yeah,
and
it
prosthetics and CGI. And I was like, is this footage they never like showed?
That they touched off.
I was stuff. That was the best part of that movie. I was like, whoa, this is crazy. So that is like something I'm like, I'll still watch these because this guy's just like over the top, probably wine drunk during the shots.
Well, he hated this movie as well. He disagreed with the direction of the story. We've touched on like the follow up from the Jamie Lloyd character, but B, his character. He has his moments in the other ones of being a little extra.
Yeah.
But this one, it's full ham. He is like
Jamie.
Like at one point, I'm surprised one of these policemen or nurses or doctors didn't just punch him in the fucking face because he is terrorizing this poor girl who's been through a lot.
Pretty ridiculous, but you know, rest in peace, Donald Pleasence. He'll always be remembered as Dr. Loomis in these movies. But it's just unfortunate that the ones he got handed to were like obviously Jamie Lee Curtis leaving and then not wanting to do these movies. It's like, where do we go? Well, we still have this guy. He'll be down to do stuff if we pay him. So it's like, but there could have been something, you know, just of course with people passing away and stuff, but. All the flowers to Donald Pleasence for. I hope he was just lit as fuck doing this movie.
Yeah, he only worked on it 2 weeks.
Of course, he's like
did the first 2 weeks, and then gave Danielle Harris his trailer at the end of it.
Nice.
Apparently, hers was a lot smaller. So okay, he was like, have mine.
I mean, nice guy Loomis. Yeah, I mean, he went and did a few other movies all the way until his passing, I think, in 1996 or 95, 97 or something like that.
Whether these movies were good or not, like, I think he's still got You Only Live Twice and The Great Escape to his name.
Oh, so, right, yeah,
like,
yeah,
I think
yeah.
I don't think it's kind of tarnished his career.
No, at all. I don't think so. I just think after the first two,
you just wish he finished on a high.
Yeah, it's like after the first two, it's like, yo, you were in two really good horror movies, and then you were also in like horror movie spinoff ones that weren't that great. But I mean, he did have a huge career before these movies. Actually, recently, maybe like 6 months ago, watched The Great Escape fully for the first time.
Such a good film.
And I was like, holy shit, it's Loomis. And what was the other one? Who did he? He's Blofeld.
Yeah, he's Blofeld. Yeah, he's You Only Live Twice.
Yeah, he's got a crazy stack.
It is You Only Live Twice.
Yeah, he's Blofeld. He's amazing. So he's not amazing in this movie, but he's amazing to watch and definitely laugh at some of the things he has to say. Like, Jamie, the girl, the kill. All he does is scream in this movie, and it's so funny.
Yeah.
So get your candy corn. Get your kids' Halloween candy and strap in as we talk about Halloween 5.
Yes, Halloween 5, The Revenge of Michael Myers from 1989. Although,
it does not
it
say
doesn't
that.
Say it on the thing at all.
They clearly added that after the fact.
Where apparently the Friday 13th that came out in 1989 and A Nightmare on Elm Street, which came out in 1989 as well. All three had the same thing where it was like
the return,
Nightmare
the
on Elm Street 5 colon whatever, but on the like on the actual film it says something different, and it was same with Friday 13th. So it was a bit of a coincidence between the three that year.
Okay, so the same year was Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream Child.
And I think it was just Nightmare on Elm Street, The Dream Child.
Right.
Is how it was on the film.
Yeah. And Friday the 13th, part whatever, Jason Takes Manhattan.
And I don't think it said Jason Takes Manhattan or something like that.
Right.
It's, interesting. Which is all three kind of following the same.
89 track. Had some good years. Movies. They also had Pet Sematary. So, I mean, that was a good one I enjoyed.
So, we get a bit of a different take on the pumpkin for these opening credits. I think last year's, I quite liked last year's. It was all these like harvest fields and stuff with the pumpkins rotting. It was quite creepy.
Yeah.
I think Halloween 3, we had like the digital pumpkin because it was all like sci-fi. And then 1 and 2, we had the classic just pumpkin burning and away.
Yeah, I always I definitely love the original movie pumpkin because they just got someone to do this face, and I absolutely love that one. I usually carve that one out, but I like all the openings. I do think this one falls a little flat because they don't play music during it. They just have the
it takes a while before the music eventually kicks in, but I'm like, wait, where is it?
Yeah, I'll also just step in and say the music in this movie is dollar store version mm-hmm. of all the music they've used before. They clearly did not want to pay the rights to use the old one. They didn't want to pay someone to do it. They just got this, some real shit covers of their old song. I really...
It still has the theme.
But yeah, but not just the original. It's like redone on like 89 synth tubes or something. It's really bad.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of... You see that in film, like in Bond films, like the version of like the theme kind right. of is representative of the year it came out yeah. and stuff. But I agree, it's bad. It doesn't have the bad. Same atmosphere. I don't mind. This is like the pumpkin getting hacked up.
Right.
So you just see the knife slashing, and you get. I thought one shot was kind of nice, where you saw like the inside of the pumpkin, like yeah. with its like body of the inside.
Guts.
They then replay the end of Halloween 4 with Michael getting shot loads as he falls into a pit, and they throw dynamite into the pit.
This is the epitome of double tapping. I mean, like, they not only do you blast him with, like, multiple rounds, different people shooting at him, he falls into a grave, like a shaft, then yeah. they throw dynamite, then the thing explodes and implodes on him now, that it, like, a sinkhole, yeah. essentially, is where this guy ended up.
And I fucking love the opening of this film, because it then cuts to like recreate. They do this a few times in Halloween.
Yeah,
oh, like
yeah.
I know we'll get it between like yeah. H2O and Resurrection. But here we see him crawling through this hole to get out of the pit just before the dynamite goes off, going into a river, and then just like
fucking chilling,
lazy river,
lazy river
down
by the water.
It reminds me of there's a sketch in Family Guy where they're all at the clan drinking
yeah.
pub, and Joe is like crying about something, and all of the guys start sliding under the table
right.
to like
yeah.
get away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this, I feel you could edit that with just Michael just sliding, and because he's sliding forever, just going yeah. down this river like whoa.
This
it
is...
looks so ridiculous, yeah. especially with the mask and everything.
Yeah, what a
looks
like
so funny, but I love it.
What a ridiculous retcon of like, okay, hold on, we got to explain how he survives this. So let's just have him chilling down a river, like down by the bayou here. Yeah. Like what the.
So funny.
The visual also, like you said, it's because the mask. He looks shit. It looks like this is someone who dressed up for Michael Myers for Halloween, but again, got it at the discount store.
I think as well, when you think the, like, the end of the first one, it's, he's fallen, he's there, you look away, you look back, he's gone. It's, Michael always either walks really slowly or just, like,
yeah.
appears. So to have him actually see, like, whoop! Crawling through, he just looks so funny.
In the trenches, yeah. chilling in the Crimea River.
And then,
he's just laying out there, getting some waves. Yeah, it's really shit. It's really like what a way to retcon this whole story is that he escapes crawling through and then drifts down the river like a fucking log
yeah.
and survives. And this is supposed to take place what, a year later?
Well, this is, yeah, that's yeah. the end of that, where he sees an old man with a parrot, this old hobo living in a barn.
He tries to kill, but then he passes out because he's been shot up so bad.
So this guy has kind of, like, looked after him for a whole year.
Doesn't call the cops? This no. guy sees this
well,
man's
he doesn't have a phone. He's homeless.
But, like, you notice this guy's been shot. You know, he takes his mask off. You don't see Michael's face, but Michael gets his mask taken off and basically sits in a bed mm-hmm. while the guy, like, aids him. But, like, you've been shot, exploded, and you look like you're fine.
So in the original script, which would have made way more sense, is this guy is into, like, the occult and stuff.
Right, right.
So this barn would have loads of, like, culty
yeah, that's
sort
the
of
next
stuff.
One. Yeah.
Which would have made sense for him, like, looking after him and reviving him, because maybe he knows who he
yeah.
is. And that...
Because
it would explain more why he doesn't try and get help for this.
Yeah, thing. As a kid, I always thought that this was trying to do the Frankenstein. Because remember, I don't know if it's the original Frankenstein or Bride of Frankenstein, where Frankenstein's monster wanders in
yeah
into off a river somewhere and ends up in an old man's shack because he smells this food and stuff like that. And the old man aids him and helps him because the old man's blind, so he doesn't know that he's just this giant monster.
Yeah,
I feel like they were going for that.
There was actually a another version which was going to Frankenstein him, where he's essentially dead.
Yeah.
And there's this big storm that opens it and he gets struck by lightning.
While
and,
he's in the river?
And, like, it wakes him up.
The devil's lightning wakes him up and gives him
powers.
Yeah,
I just feel if you saw in this barn, like, loads of, like, upside down crosses and shit like that, yeah. it might make it make a bit more
sure.
sense.
Sure, yeah.
Be like this weird, like, witch doctor, like, yeah. in the woods.
Yeah. So, are we to believe this guy's been chilling in this bed in this shack for a whole year?
Yeah.
I don't think your body... Like, I don't think...
No, I think so. If you're just, you know...
Shot up water, 20 times.
Some... Yeah, it's Michael Myers, though, isn't it?
Oh, man. I think the witchcraft shit would have made more sense.
It would have.
Sadly. They decide to go that route by the end of this movie and the next one, so like it would have maybe tied in. You're telling me, spoiler, no spoiler, the man in black is this old man? like that's where they should have went. There's so many things that would have made sense that they just decided not to do in this movie, but yeah.
So we're in this now, it's Halloween Eve, 1 year later, at the Children's Psychiatric Center in Haddonfield, Illinois. And that's where Jamie Lloyd has been all this time. She's attached to this, like, polygraph reader kind of thing. She's, like, strapped in her bed. And we see, like, the end of Halloween 4 again when JB stabs her stepmom. And she wakes up and she's screaming, but she's mute. Like, there's no sound can come out of her mouth. And the nurse runs in. It's like, oh, Jamie, my dear baby girl.
Yeah,
Jamie.
Really, really bad.
It's just another nightmare. And this is where we see Michael in the barn start to wake up and his hand grips something. And then we see Jamie, her hand does the same. And then
uh-oh.
We notice on Michael's wrist as well this, like, tattoo, like this marking.
Yeah, you didn't know Michael Myers got a sleeve?
Yeah.
He's got prison tats from all those years he was locked up.
It's just, is this what this old man's been doing, just practicing?
Yo, you want a sticky poke, bro?
Yeah.
You want yin and yang? What do you think Michael Myers would get tattooed on him? Classic Superman on the forearm, on the shoulder?
Yeah, probably. So Jamie is essentially kind of being Damien Mizdow here, because everything Michael does, she's doing. It's, we see Michael, like, pick up the mask, and she's, like, miming putting the mask on her face.
So the psychic connection, the psychic link between the family here is clearly, they're telling us, the viewer, like, hey, look, she's doing this, he's doing this. They're the same, they're doing the same thing.
And she picks up a chalk and writes on a chalkboard, he's coming.
Ah.
And then... has a seizure as we see Michael break this poor old man's neck. This guy who's been reviving him the whole year.
A whole year.
A whole year.
Probably fed you his, like, squirrel soup and whatever else this old man in a van down by the river feeding you, and you just break his neck.
Yeah.
Wow, what a mean guy, Michael.
So Loomis shows up at the hospital, and the doctors are like, yo, you want this girl dead? Can you, like, fuck off? He's like, no, she has something to tell us. Just, like, he goes 1 to, like, 15. Like,
hi, sir, you're here. You need to just sign in here to...
No!
excuse me? No.
So, anyway, we flash forward to the morning, and we see Rachel, who is Jamie's stepsister from the previous film. Her and her friend Tina are checking on Jamie, and they're all happy. There's Max the dog. They're all having a great time. They're hugging. They're, for some reason, excited about Halloween. I'd be, like, over Halloween at this point.
Yeah,
especially,
I mean,
this family.
Yeah, I mean, was it the last one that they had Sunday, the dog? And I guess he didn't make it, so they got a new one here. But really, like, you wouldn't be talking about Halloween if this all traumatic thing happened. Everyone's way too happy.
I feel like going holiday. You know, like, it's, I'm going to go to Mexico this year for Halloween.
Yeah, like
I'm not
go away.
Taking it off. Last year, like, all my friends died.
All my friends are dead.
You killed my mom. Like, it's...
Yeah.
It's, shall we maybe not talk about what we're going to dress up and go to a spooky party tonight?
It's really weird. I personally wouldn't be able to celebrate Halloween if my sister or whatever killed mom and stuff like that. Like, that's just... They just... move on to move on for the movie's sake. But yeah, really strange.
And a brick gets thrown through the window, and on the brick it says, the girl must die. So, was this Loomis as well?
I'm going for a smoke. I'll be right back. And then runs back in. Who could have done this?
And then Max the dog is barking away, and we see Michael just lurking in the trees.
Whoa, so classic. Yeah, this, again, it doesn't even give the effect of the first one where he's standing there. Like, again, iconic. Every fucking movie does this now. Killer movie where the guy's watching. And that's classic Michael Myers. But now, it's some dude in a dorky mask standing. It doesn't give any effect.
So it's a different actor from the guy in Halloween 4. And obviously, this takes place pretty much like right off of Halloween 4.
Yeah.
But the mask didn't fit him. So they made him a new mask, and they've... These eyes have, like, they're, like, teardrop shape now.
It's shit, man.
It's, I didn't like the mask in the last one either. But this one, the one that bothers me the most is the neck. It looks like it's not done up properly. It's like this baggy neck.
Yeah, baggy neck.
And it just doesn't, look, it's
baggy like neck.
You haven't finished your costume off properly.
It looks really bad. I just quickly Googled Halloween 5 mask, and I don't know how they came up with this. I mean, the fourth one is so bad because it doesn't even look like the first one.
Yeah.
And this one is like even further from that. I don't know how you... The whole movie is based around this guy who wears a mask and kills people. Like, the one thing you can get right is the mask, in my opinion. And
well, I mean, even if... Okay, so Don Shanks is the
guy who plays,
Michael in this one. Okay, the old mask didn't fit, but wouldn't you just... make a mask that looks the same that does fit?
It's just like maybe the people that were in charge were like, I made this one, and they're just like, do we tell them? Nah, let's just film the movie anyways.
Yeah.
That's how I got the vibe from the last one, and now it somehow even got like worse. It's
something
laughable.
I do like about the new films is the like deterioration of the mask.
It's the first mask.
The first.
Yeah,
it's the across the three.
It's the original
one. It's the original one. It gets more burnt and fucked up. So yeah. In the last one, it's just like...
They also, like, change the hair in this one. They, like, make
it's like
it...
slick back?
Yeah, it's slick back, lives for New Year's.
The last one, the hair... the last one, the hair is awful, though. It's, like, ginger, isn't it?
So bad.
It's, like, sting hair.
Yeah, it's so bad. Like, I don't know how they made the Halloween 4 mask worse, but they somehow did. It's got saggy neck and just fucking blonde, slick back hair. It's a piece of shit.
So we see Rachel is at home. She's just had a shower.
Nice.
So normally in horror films, the actress is not wearing many clothes.
Right.
She's just come out the shower. She's wet. She's probably gonna die. And Loomis phones Rachel concerned.
Yeah, Loomis is like, again, you mentioned he's not supposed to be around with Jamie, but then like he's still worried. So he's like, it's part of my duty. This whole Michael Myers saga, yada, yada, yada. I can buy that because he's been insane in other movies featuring Michael Myers. So it's like, yeah, maybe he would want to sort things out and not feel too comfortable. They never got the body. So, you know, but Rachel starts freaking out and she can't speak. So she's like, it's Rachel. We need to call her, make sure she's okay. So Loomis then convinces someone like, we got to use your phone to do this. And again, it's trying to, the psychic link that she knows Michael's there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She knows where he is. Yeah. So Loomis phones Rachel concerned, tells her to just drop everything she's doing, get out the house immediately. We notice that, Rachel notices that Max has gone, the dog.
Yeah.
And so she drops the phone and runs out the house, runs into the police who like come to like search the house. And, well, these police have clown noises when they're walking.
Yeah, this is 1989. They basically give them like... I'm thinking of a few years later when they make Power Rangers, Bulk and Skull.
Yeah.
It's basically that. Like, here's your two dopes. This is so stupid.
I don't get it.
I don't get it at all. It instantly kills the whatever vibe you were trying to go for.
I remember the first time I watched this...
Yeah.
Years ago, I remember rewinding. I was like, wait.
Is this part of the movie?
Did that have... Wait, why?
Yeah.
Why does it have this?
Whoever decided on most of the choices in this movie should feel bad.
Mm. So they found Max the dog. The dog's fine. They haven't found anything in the house. So she goes back into the house, and this is where she notices that there's the picture of Jamie that has been smashed, and there's blood on it, and Jamie at the same time is having another seizure, and Rachel turns around and gets stabbed repeatedly in the chest by Michael.
Yeah, I guess our second death, but the real classic stabby death from Michael with a pair of scissors.
Pair of scissors.
Yeah, a pair of scissors to Rachel. A lot of Halloween fans really upset at this death because it fucks up the fact that they continue to make a sequel and continue to this movie. A lot of the criticism of a lot of Halloween fans, including a lot of people that worked on this movie, were like, yeah, but why did she need to die in this scene? Because it would have helped the movie if she stayed in it. Could have killed everyone else around it, all the new characters. But then trying to, like, literally use broken pieces of something to fix something for the next movie when you didn't have this character, I think a lot of people are like, oh, if you actually kept this character. A lot of people working on the movie just were upset that they decided to kill her, especially like the first 15, 20 minutes of the movie.
I think she's a stronger
protagonist. She's a better actor. Yeah.
But I do kind of like, it kind of gives you that no one's safe.
No one's safe. Right?
I kind of like when they do that in horror films, when like the big protagonist goes early, because you're like, oh shit. But it does mean you now have to, you've now got to establish all these other characters that you're not as attached to. So I do see it from both sides. I think at least if you had maybe one other character from the last one to like continue over, but I don't dislike the idea. Just being like, all right, wow, he just killed Rachel.
It just isn't like the lead in the last one. There's so many things that don't make sense if you're trying to look at it from like a realistic standpoint. Because later in the movie, Jamie's going to be like, oh, Rachel's friend, who is now basically Rachel's role in this movie for no reason that they just, it's her friend. How would Jamie, it's been 1 year. You think a full year of getting to know someone and you're going to act as if they're like your sister? Like, you've been in this mental hospital like because you killed someone. You're not hanging out with these people all year round, and like they act as if it is Rachel in certain things. Like she's, oh, I don't even remember her name in this.
Tina, and the other friend. I mean, I can believe Tina was like, she did seem close with her at the beginning in the hospital. I can believe Rachel and Tina have been coming to like see her regularly, and she's got that bond. You're nine, like it's different. Like you can build a bond with someone pretty quick. But my problem is no one ever really asks for Rachel.
Exactly.
She gets killed off like 20 minutes into this film.
No one knows.
And they were meant to be going to this Halloween party and stuff. Yeah. She was meant to see Jamie. Like all this stuff she was meant to be doing. And no one asks about her at all. Yeah. They just completely forget about her. And that's where I think it was a little lazy.
I don't know if it was, because again, a lot of people who worked on the movie were like, no, we shouldn't kill her. Like, we need her in this movie. Why would you do that? It's so stupid. Like, already on top of everything that's been added to the dislike. But I'm wondering if maybe it was the actor who was like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. So
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I think she was happy to do it. She did request, because the original death was she was going to be stabbed in the neck.
Ooh.
And Ellie Cornell, who plays Rachel, said, like, I think basically because she is the kind of heroine in the last one, she's like, that's a bit too gruesome a death for this character.
Okay.
Like, this character.
I mean, you still got stabbed by scissors, but
no, but, like, it was going to be, like, in the neck, like, blood spurting out. And, like, a real, I don't know, she said she felt it was too gruesome for the character, so they changed it.
They're like, don't worry, we don't have a budget for that anyways, it's fine.
So, Loomis is now telling the sheriff to do something. He's like, Michael's back. And the sheriff's not really doing much. And he's like, after everyone he killed last year. And he reminds the sheriff, remember how he killed your daughter? And the sheriff's like, yo, what the fuck? Of course I remember. And Loomis shows him his burns. And he said, I prayed that he would burn in hell. But in my heart, I knew hell would not have him.
His eyes!
They're blank.
Black like a dog's eyes.
And, yeah, so the sheriff is like, all right, yeah, you reminded me about my dead daughter.
Taking the night off, guys. Oh. Yeah, this cop is now again working a year anniversary where your daughter got slain, and you're like, I'll work this case.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a small town, but, like, what the fuck?
Tina is just fucking insane as well. She's, the whole film, like the whole beginning of this film, she's just skipping around. She's spinning around her house like a loon.
Hey, didn't you kill your stepmom last year? Anyways, you down to go to this Halloween party?
Yeah. So Tina's getting ready for Halloween. The doorbell rings, and it's her friend Sammy, who equally seems like really too happy right now.
Yeah,
very bubbly.
My interest picked up when Samantha's introduced in this movie.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Tina's boyfriend, Mikey, shows up.
Big fan of him, too.
Who's like a classic greaser, leather jacket, convertible, Camaro
car. I'll give him a break. Maybe he's in a Halloween costume. But
I don't think so.
He's basically being like, hey, yo, babe, what's going on? It's like, sorry, where the fuck are we now? And who are all these new people that I don't know or really care about right away? But, oh, man, the really, like, really trying to be cool, but, you know, from 1989,
They're cool. Establishing he's an asshole.
Yeah.
He is a dickhead.
He's gonna die, yeah. Is what we're getting at.
The boyfriends, so but these are meant to be, what, 16, 17, these kids?
I see they're a little older.
Yeah?
18, 19, yeah.
I don't know how he's affording I looked at a 1967 Chevrolet Camaro.
Yeah.
Like, what's this guy do? These kids in these movies always have really nice convertible cars, and I'm like, I can't afford shit right now. Like,
yeah.
what are you doing? Like, different time, I guess. But,
Haddonfield, maybe, you know, family, family ties.
Yeah. So he's a complete dickhead here. Is this when what's his name? Spitz shows up as well.
This other boyfriend
who I put it on my Twitter. He comes out the store like doing this little dance, and he's like, "Hey!"
Yeah, and then kisses one of the girls. I was like, "Oh, wasn't expecting that from this guy."
So he's with Sammy. He touches the car and he's like, "Oh, nice wax job you did here." Mikey's basically like, "You touch my fucking car again and I'll fuck you up."
All while like Michael Myers is like watching them
from
afar somehow, some way. I think he's trying to find Jamie. He doesn't know she's in a hospital, I guess. So he knows that he killed. Yeah. How is he supposed to know that these were Rachel's friends and then now following them when we just saw him kill Rachel and the friends weren't there?
Does he know that they're friends? I think he's just looking around.
I think he's purposely following them because he believes they say Jamie. Oh, I thought you were going to go see Jamie. They make it sure that they say that a lot of times so that he like follows them.
Right, got you.
Essentially.
So Jamie knows that Michael's out due to her psychic connection. So starts running around the hospital trying to escape. This is where the Halloween theme hits, but it's the weird, like, synthy version.
Imagine you played the original Halloween theme, but, like, on a, like, Nokia phone from, like, 2005.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
It sounds weird. Everything is, like, flashing and blowing around. I don't know why it's so windy inside this hospital. There's just bedsheets, like, flying and lightning that's flashing up and stuff.
Yeah, and then, like... She ends up in the boiler room.
She hides in the boiler room.
We're going to run into Freddy Krueger here in a different movie. Something
well,
like that.
The janitor finds her. You think they kind of tease. You see the boots and you see the pants and you think it's Michael. But it's just the janitor. And he hands her over to the overtop nurse who's like, "Jamie, I've been worried sick of Jamie."
I love how it's Loomis who grabs Jamie and is like, "Where is he?
Why are you hiding him?
Yeah, why are you protecting him? Tell me where he is." And she's like, "Yo, what's
he made you stab your stepmother. We both know he's alive."
It's so ridiculous.
This is a 9-year-old girl. A 9-year-old girl who's gone through severe trauma. Also, this guy is meant to be like a top, like, shrink. Right?
He used to be.
Used to be. But you'd still think, like, you would know how the fucking psyche works and stuff. So he's grabbing her, and then he's like, again, to a 9-year-old, "Today a coffin was dug up of a 9-year-old girl. You're 9 years old, Jamie, too.
Jesus.
He has a power over you. He will make you kill again."
Yeah, Donald Pleasance way over the top here. Specifically, like, "Where is he?" It's very, like, Okay. All right. Wasn't sure what was happening in this movie. Still not sure. But
I feel we reviewed something recently where we were like, "Yo, if was it The Omen? Yeah, yeah. It was the priest.
The priest and the Omen. Yeah.
Whereas if he just like you know took a breath and chilled,
explained, use your words,
and was like, Jamie, I know you're scared. I know you've been through a lot.
I know you're nine.
I know you're nine. But you know Michael's out. I know Michael's out. He must be stopped.
There's something going on. You're linked to him or something. Can we talk? What are you seeing? Explain to me. Talk to me.
Write down. What are you seeing? What are you experiencing?
Jamie, talk to me, baby. Yeah.
Like, not Jamie!
Where is he?
I'd be like, yo, can Michael just come in and just end this all now?
Yeah, he's over the top. He's almost like healing it up.
He is a heel.
It's like, relax, dude.
So Loomis just goes out on his own looking for Michael. He sees a rat and falls over.
He's definitely like, you know, he's giving it his all because like the actors do. But like he's so, like we said, so campy, so over the top that like it's so like not trying to be funny, but it is funny, unironic. Like it's just so funny.
Because he disagreed with the direction of his character. He disagreed with all of this.
Everything. So and he's still doing it.
I think there's maybe even that like Shawn Michaels Hulk Hogan thing.
Yeah.
Whereas, and it's true as an actor. If you're like given direction you like disagree with and eventually it's like, well, what the director says goes, you have to go all in on it. But it's
just so funny because he is like, even in the original one, you know, in our favorite scene, like, get away from there, Mac, or something like that. And then like he's like smiles and we're like, he's so like funny without, you know, he's just so over the top. It's hilarious.
We see more. They do a lot of the over the shoulder shot of Michael in this film with his baggy neck as he's stood in the trees watching and no one seems to see him.
Ever.
And I know it's Halloween and people are in costumes, but you would think in Haddonfield this would just be like if you're wearing a Michael Myers costume, you will be arrested.
Well, fair enough. Like that should be eventually like a law in that town or whatever. But to give them credit is like, oh, is that a Michael Myers? Is that Michael Myers? Nah, it's some guy in a fucking Kmart Michael Myers costume because it looks so shit that like no one would think it was actually him. Yeah, even his own house is a different house.
Yeah,
they're trying to tell me that we go to Michael Myers' house. I'm like, that's not his house.
Yeah, it didn't exist anymore.
What do you like?
The house wasn't there, and they couldn't use the house for whatever reason. So they picked a bigger house so they could shoot easier in it.
Like, it's not the biggest thing, but I did notice it. I haven't been to haunted Halloween nights in the States, but they do screamers up here in Toronto sometimes for Halloween. And every year they do like this one giant big scary maze that has different. Different scary movie sets. Mm. And these people knew how to make that house.
Yeah.
Why can't they do that? Not that it's a big deal, but.
So, this is where Tina scares Mikey, the boyfriend, by like wearing a mask and doing boom. And he's like, not about any of this. This is where Sammy's boyfriend comes in dancing.
Yeah.
Please watch the GIF I posted. Mikey's just a dick here.
Yeah.
And Michael is still watching.
Yeah, you said he was like scratching the guy's car a little bit on purpose, just being a cunt.
So now Mikey is like just checking out his car and like checking for any spot. He's like checking for spots on his skin and stuff like that. When Michael comes in with a three-pronged claw thing.
Like a rake, a hoe? I don't know what you call this, but he's got it.
And just smashes Mikey in the head, killing him. Not a bad death. The three claws to the skull.
Yeah. It's pretty nice.
Blood oozing out.
Yeah. I feel like in other Halloween movies, it would have been shown a bit more. I felt like the deaths were pretty lazy in this. Mm. You don't necessarily get a full-on, like, proper gruesome death. Again, they didn't have budget for it, clearly. This is just like, ah-dah! And then he's dead. Yeah.
It's not bad, but yeah, we don't get the elaborate death in this one.
We do, however.
Like, even, was it in 2 where you get the jacuzzi?
The jacuzzi,
or whatever?
The hot water one.
Yeah, at least it's a bit different.
I mean, yeah, I will say at least he does this in this movie. Because the whole thing in one of the newer ones is people online were like, how come Michael Myers is driving a car? Mm. And I'm like, has no one ever watched Halloween movies before? Because he drives all the time. He drives in the first one for like half the fucking movie. And here he's driving. But here, he goes back to his roots from original Halloween. Cause in the newer ones and the remakes, he's scary. All he does is walk and chases you and kills you. But in the first one, He's a bit of a jokester, that Michael Myers. He's putting on, he kills a guy, puts the sheet and the glasses on. Yeah. You know, he's having a ball. Yeah. He's having a laugh. And I feel like they don't ever really go back to that. Whereas here.
In the new ones, no.
No, they don't do that, right? So here, he's like, wouldn't it be funny if I pretend to be the guy I just killed again? Yeah. So they go with that. And I did like that.
Who's also called Mikey.
Mike kills Mikey.
So, yeah, so he's going to pretend to be him.
He puts his Halloween mask on, like a clown mask.
Jamie is now dressed as a princess. She's all in pink. And this little boy, Billy, dressed as a pirate, gives her a bracelet. He clearly fancies her. And he's a weird-looking kid. She kisses him. It's cute. This is the romantic story in this one. But yes, this is where Michael goes in the car with this like grotesque mask on,
kind of like
see Tina
clowns from outer space or whatever, yeah. But like with skin tone color.
It was originally going to be a Ronald Reagan mask, and then they didn't want to have any like political commentary.
So I am not a crook.
It. Yeah,
and then 2 years later, Point Break did it anyways. Mm.
So he gets in the car and sees with Tina, and it's the classic like Tina just talking and him not saying anything. And she's like, "Oh, silent treatment, are you?" All that stuff. Meanwhile, Jamie at the party, the Halloween party, is sensing something's wrong and screams and collapses. Michael, as Mikey, starts to drive the car, and Tina is like, "Oh, I would need a pack of cigarettes. Can you pull over at this store for me?" But he keeps driving. She's like, "Come on, Mikey, pull over. I want some cigarettes." And meanwhile, Loomis is trying to find out from Jamie, who's just collapsed, where Tina is. And this is the first time she manages to get some words out.
Whoa.
And Billy, the little boy, can kind of translate what she's trying to say. Because she says, store, all-nighter, big woman, cookie woman. And
this sounds great. I want to go there.
The police is like, "Oh, that must be Bill's gas station."
They know right away.
I mean, I guess it's a small town.
Yeah.
And it might be the only all-night store. And it's like, "Oh, the big woman with the cookies."
Yeah. I'll always remember, around Halloween time, I'd always try to watch these movies on TV and stuff like that. And my mom would always be like, "Oh, you're watching these Halloween movies again." And she'd be like, "The only reason they made her a mute is because she's not really that good of an actor in that last movie." So they were like, "You know what? Let's get rid of some of her dialogue and make her a mute." Yeah. And I was like, "Mom, that's not fair.
She's pretty bad. Yeah. I think she's pretty good."
Yeah. Especially my mom will always make that joke like, "Oh, that little girl." And then like, and then we'll admit like, "Okay, 4 was pretty good." And then be like, these ones are really, really bad. But she's like, they made her mute because they knew. They were like, "Ah." And I'm like, you might be onto something, but
I don't mind her.
She eventually talks.
I don't mind her in these films. I don't think she's too bad.
I actually really like her in the Rob Zombie one because she gets a role when she plays one of the babysitters or whatever. And I think she's so good. Danielle Harris now is like, to us, like she's older than us, right? She's like an icon to me and you just because she's just known as like the screen queen and stuff. But yeah, this is her OG status.
And while Tina is in the big woman cookie store, we see Michael in the car who swaps the mask out for the quote unquote classic Michael Myers mask.
Classic.
As Tina comes out and all the police surround her, and we see Michael watching, and then the car is gone. So they've saved Tina.
They're basically like, "Did you know you were in a car with Michael Myers?" And she's like, "Wait a second, what?"
So Jamie and Tina reunite, and Jamie can now kind of speak, and she's saying, Tina.
Where's Rachel? Oh no, she doesn't ask that.
Yes. Tina wants to go off. She wants to go off and party again. And Loomis is saying to the police, like, "What? Follow her? What the fuck? Like, you can't leave." They're like, "Nah, you're filling her head up with all this crap. Like, let her be her." And Loomis goes, "Okay, well, just promise me you'll follow her."
Yeah.
But he's full crazy mode here.
Yeah, he's gone nutso. But to the cops' chagrin, there's like kids trying to pull pranks and stuff, like all through the thing, like in the background in different scenes. So it's like they're already kind of over this. Like, okay, we're not gonna go off of some little girl is like, "Oh, I think he's there," and stuff like that. Like they're kind of pissed off.
So then this is where, Tina and Sammy's boyfriend, Spitz, is...
Stacks?
Spitz. he's playing, pretending to, like, stab her as Michael Myers.
Yeah.
And the police, like, pull out the guns and, like, yo, what the fuck? Sorry, but, okay, it's one thing being from the town. But if you're, like, close... Yeah. So, like, he's friends with Rachel, who a year ago almost died.
And her mom died. And all her these mom other died, died
by this guy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be...
Tone deaf.
Like, really tone deaf.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's really
fucked up. If it was just a random character who doesn't know them and... Ah, it's whatever.
Yeah,
like,
I think
this... You get people who are, like, a bit fucked like that. But being actual, like... close friends.
Yeah, really weird.
Really weird.
Really bizarre. They're playing off of Halloween 2 where, like, the same mask where the guy get the Ben Tramer guy gets shot by the cops. Like, they're trying to go with that where anyone could be him because it's Halloween. But really, like, you could have done this maybe with just two separate characters that get dunned off at the party or something.
I think so. Because also, you would assume if they're friends with Rachel, they're friends with all the other people that died last year.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this year for Halloween, I'm going to dress up as the person who murdered my friend. Yeah.
Or is it like how in Halloween Ends where they're like, well, it's just evil. Like, this whole town is evil. So maybe just like you want them to die now because they did this mean joke.
So, well, they're fucking dumb. they go to this barn where there are all these cute kittens, and there's first a jump scare from one of the cats. Spitz is still pretending to be Michael here and pretending to stab up, and then this is where Michael comes out as Spitz and Sammy are making out.
Yeah, this is weird. It's almost as if this Spitz guy and Tina and Samantha.
Yeah,
it's as if they're like gonna go have a threesome in the barn. Mm. There, it seems that way. Like he's about to have a great night, even though he's a dickhead. And they go to this farm. I'm pretty sure the one girl's dressed as Scarlet Witch. It looks
the
like.
Devil. Yeah,
yeah, like a red witch kind of thing. And I remember this. I joked at the beginning, like, oh, there's a farm in this one or something, right? Mm. I feel like there's a farm in all these fucking movies. But this is probably the only, like, scene I actually can remember from this movie, like, without watching this movie in so many years, is the one death in a barn. I'm like, okay, that happens in this movie, which is probably the highlight of this movie, I guess.
Yeah, this one isn't bad. Michael gets the fork, like, the garden fork, and, like jabs it through the back of Spitz through his chest, so all the blood falls on top of Sam while they're making out.
While they're like fucking, while they're like about to get it going. So,
and then he tries to. Now Sam picks up a fork of her own, swings it at Michael. He grabs it and then just starts slashing away. You don't really see a death; it's just like a slash.
Yeah, as soon as Samantha showed up randomly in this movie, like, oh, hey, we don't have Rachel, but here's this other friend that's also hot. It's like, oh, you're here because you're going to die and you're going to have your scream queen moment and you're probably, you know, going to have blood all over you. Oh, look, here's what happens.
I mean, that's horror film.
Yeah, but you knew right away, oh, you're going to show up because you're going to be half naked and die, essentially. One of the times Michael uses, like, a sickle. Was it a scythe? What do you call it? Like, death. He uses this here.
I thought it was the fork, was it not?
No. He's got, like, even some of the posters, it's him with, like, this death, what do you call those things? Sickles or whatever?
Scythe, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, like, kind of a cool, like, different weapon for him to use, but, I guess, like, the reference would be, like, death uses that and stuff, but, yeah. All right. A cool death where she's bloody and stuff like that. Kind of the highlight of this movie, I think. Probably the best death?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I did like the claw to the head. Yeah. It's kind of cool. But, the cops think they've heard something, and they see Michael Myers come out, and they still think it's just a kid dressed up. So tell him to stop fucking around. They're like, no respect for authority. And... Well, we don't see their death, but we know what their fate is.
You don't see a lot of people.
Apparently, this was shot, and one of the actors was really disappointed it was cut because he was like, "Oh, my death scene." When he went to the
They should have showed it because there wasn't enough of that in this. But
Tina is now looking around for Sammy and Spitz, asking if they want to go skinny dipping.
Yeah, again, she was down to have a three-way, which I'm like, yo, where's that part of the movie?
But she sees blood on one of the kittens, and the piano music starts to amp up, and she sees the bodies of Spitz and Sammy as they roll down dead from the hay. And then Tina runs out of the barn, goes to the cops, sees that they've been killed as well.
Oh, no.
And I guess that's why they cut it, because they want to, you to think that the hero is going to get help. But right, like, it's like, oh, no, even they can't help her. But yeah. And then the lights come on from a car. And we see Michael driving. And Jamie and Billy are running away. They're running away from Michael. Jamie's yelling for Michael to leave them alone and tries to, like, lure them away from Tina. They're like, yeah, follow me.
Yeah, I think this is pretty lame. I mean, it's Michael Myers. Look, if a guy gets in a car and chases you, that's pretty scary. If you're in a field, like, it's not like you can dip into alleyways in a city or anything like that. You're like, you're out in the open. The guy's likely going to chase you with it. But I feel like he chose to now get into the car to do this when he was just killing people on his feet. So it's just like really lazy that he would, you know what? I'm going to kill you by hitting you with this car.
Well, I assume he gets off on like torturing them through fear as well. The way he never runs and stuff. I think he likes the chase. I think he likes having the people terrified.
Yeah, but like for a chunk of it, he was just walking. He walked from that barn to like over here. It's just like all of a sudden now he decides, I'm going to get in this car to chase these people. And it just felt like very like Christine, like, hey, let's make this car very scary and stuff like that. But it didn't. They're doing the same shots that they did in the hospital earlier. It's like, sorry, why is there lights doing this and things flying up in the air? Like, it was very just like, clearly, like,
sorry, but what's the problem with the car?
No, I just like it.
Isn't
doesn't
it too much of the same if you'll do it him just running after?
This movie like tries to play off of classic tropes from Halloween, but then when it's as if, like you said, like they cut the cops dying. A lot of the kills aren't gruesome as that as we've seen. Even just the death of the couple in the barn, it's like you just see like that part.
Yeah.
So then to go to where he finally has Jamie, the person he's going after this whole movie, and he decides, I'll get them by going in a car. That's him coming right now. I can hear. It was just like, oh, it's kind of like a step down now where it's like, okay, I thought things were like amping up. A great classic, just her, just him, where he remember the last movie where she's trick or treating and gets left behind. And then finally he like stalks her. I think it would have been way more impactful. And then finally the Billy friend and the Tina come to maybe like spiral off, and then he gets in the car and that's how he disappears. Cause then it's just like, they go back to, okay, well now we need to go to his house to trap him and do this. It's like, well, wait a second. What the fuck? Like, this guy was chasing you and then he decides to drive away to leave. It was just a little like a lot, which I feel this whole movie is like a lot of little things just don't really kind of make sense. But I didn't even like the cornfield. I think it would have been scarier if he had that scythe still walking through, chopping the corn down, chasing her with it or something like that. But again, nitpicking, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't mind the car. I think you want to break it up. You can't just have him walking around the whole film.
Fair.
And I like that kind of Christine thing of the lights coming on. This was actually one of the most dangerous parts of the film, shooting, because he's chasing them in this car, going through the cornfields and stuff, and then crashes into a tree. And the stuntman actually did this, going 30 miles per hour into the tree. But the director forgot to yell cut because he was kind of caught up with watching it.
Right.
And so this stunt guy's in there as this fire is building.
Jeez.
And eventually someone else on set realized this and was like, yo, cut. So this guy got out and like narrowly avoided actually just being burnt to death.
Holy fuck, man.
So yeah, pretty scary.
It's just like that would be unfortunate if someone got killed in something that doesn't even look that impressive. But
I like, what I do like here is, so Michael's crashed into the tree and you've got the like the horn blowing, so it's like his head is like on the thing.
Yeah.
So then like our heroes are like kind of, oh, he's dead. Like this car's starting to burn, it will blow up, hopefully he'll be dead. And then the horn stops.
Uh-oh.
And I think that was kind of a good reveal.
Maybe that's the reason for this whole card thing in the first place to kind of do that effect. Yeah, it's very Grand Theft Auto Michael Myers here. Mm. Like, wasted is what it should have popped up when he hit the car, the tree.
And then Michael gets out, and now he has the classic knife. I'm not quite sure where. They are pretty good in a lot of the other films.
Showing the knife.
Showing him get the kitchen knife from somewhere. I know they do it in Halloween 2. They pretty much do it in all of them from what I remember. But he just has it here. And you're like, okay, where did that come from? And, well, he kills Tina. Yet this one isn't a very creative death. He just stabs her.
Yeah. Just stabs her and Tina dies. And Jamie and Billy run off.
Yeah. And now Loomis. And this might be...
Where's he been this whole time?
One of... I mean, he has a lot of dick lines in this. But here, it's like, so Tina's dead.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, now are you willing to help me? As if I told you so, now you're going to help me?
Yeah.
I mean, and she's like, Jamie goes, I want you to kill him. And he's like, yes, I will.
I'm going to do that. I've been trying to do that, girl.
So Loomis is yelling into the woods. This is their excuse for Michael going away, right? So, because he tells Michael to, like, go home. He's like, that's what you're looking
for. Go to your home.
Go home and, like, we'll be there. Essentially,
imagine that was all you needed to do all these movies when this guy's trying to kill people. Yo, go home.
Yeah.
Oh shit. Okay, my bad. I'll go home then. It was weird. Looking trivial.
She'll find her waiting for you.
Yeah. Like at least he's saying like, hey, we'll be there. We'll show up. I saw trivia that that Donald Pleasance doesn't like he had to have someone there to do his lines. Yeah. It's like, well, the guys aren't in the shot. No. But he needs to be there. Yeah. But he's not. We don't see him. Yeah, but I want him to be there when I read the lines. It's like, all right. Do you need more Kavsov?
That's not uncommon, though.
It's not like...
It is... I get it more when it's, you know... So quite often what will happen is... I mean, you've seen us do our shows on Twitch or YouTube. Yeah. Where we're opposite each other.
Yeah.
And quite often it will be like, all right, Brayden, it's now your close-up. I'm not needed for the scene, so I'll be in my trailer.
Right.
And you'll be like, well, I kind of want someone to talk to, so they get someone to sit here.
The difference is
Michael's here is like 20 meters away in the woods.
That's what I mean, and we
can't see him. So no that's problem. Where it's like quite funny.
Yeah.
But I imagine Donald Pleasance, who at this point, he's an older, stuck in his way actor. It's just, sometimes it's just like, you know, pulling your weight a little bit as well.
I get it's like just so
being
funny.
A bit of a diva.
You need to be there. Someone needs to be in the shadows. Well, it could be anyone. No, it needs to be him. All right, cool.
Yeah. So tells him to go home, and they basically take Jamie to this house. They're trying to use her as bait.
Yeah. So again, another nod to the original movie where the original death of the intro of original Halloween, when the sister gets killed by Michael, kind of the same as the ending of the Halloween 4. So here we have Jamie in the house in front of the mirror, like combing her hair as if she's about to get stabbed, you know, all that stuff. So they're luring Michael to come find her.
So we got a policeman who is with Jamie and Loomis here, and then another policeman kind of staking out outside, and policeman uses walkie-talkie, the one outside, and is like, yo, I think someone's coming. Oh, it's another policeman, and the police car rams into the car. And they just hear this guy die. They're hearing Michael murdering him, and the cop inside is going, Eddie, can you hear me? Eddie, it's like... It's not like it's gone silent. If it was just like, there's a car coming. Eddie, can you hear me? I'm dying. I'm dying. It's him. It's Michael Myers. Eddie, are you there? Can you hear me, Eddie?
Yeah, really. And again, more like Grand Theft Auto Michael Myers here, where he's driving like he's got five. He stole the cop car now. And it's just really funny.
So... Loomis then just grabs the walkie-talkie, smashes it against the wall, and pulls a fucking gun out on this cop.
Get the strap. Yeah. Takes matters into his own hands here.
And he just goes, Charlie, Michael Myers is outside. Now stay with the little girl, please. So he's left this hapless cop with Jamie as Loomis is going to go and confront
Papa Michael. Pop a cap in that ass.
And he's telling Michael that the girl can make the rage inside of him stop. She can stop this. And do you remember how much better you used to be? I assume he's talking about when he was in the like psych ward. And he goes, let me take you to her. She will take the rage away, Michael. And like Michael's kind of stopping here. And Loomis goes to like take the knife off of him. He's like, you don't need that, Michael. I'm going to take you to her. But Michael changes his mind and slashes at Loomis, puts his head through the window, and then throws him over the balcony.
Damn.
This Loomis is almost as resilient as Michael Myers. He's been through a lot.
Yeah, does he come back in
He's in the next one. He's been shot. He's been stabbed. He's been set on fire.
He's been left to die in a fire and survives. And he somehow gets thrown off a fucking, like, second
floor. He gets slashed head through a window and thrown off a balcony.
Damn, man.
The cop, meanwhile, is breaking the window and is trying to climb out with a rope. But now Michael is coming after them. And he kills the cop. I didn't even write down how this cop died. I think
did he hang him out a window or something? I forget.
It wasn't very inventive.
Someone gets put out a window again. I don't know. Yeah.
And Jamie runs away, and now she's trying to escape through a laundry chute. I quite like this. Jamie like trying to hide through this. So Michael realizes where she's gone, so goes downstairs to try and get her out of there, and. Then we go back to, they go back to Jamie's house, don't they?
I guess so. Yeah. I was not sure.
We kind of just hopped there, didn't we?
Yeah. Again, movie not good, but no editing here where I'm like, are they in Michael's house or do they go back?
Jamie's cause this is where they find Rachel.
Yeah. So this is classic again, similar to the first movie where, Laurie comes home and all of a sudden Michael has like put all her friends in the gravestone. Like,
it's like a kind of weird shrine. Set it up. There's candles and everything.
So he did the same thing here. So it's like a house of horrors for this Jamie to find. Dead friends everywhere. So yeah, this is when she goes, oh yeah, Rachel.
Rachel, where you been?
Fuck. Oh, yeah, true. Died. Yeah, I guess that happened.
So first she sees the head of Max the dog and then Mikey, the dickhead boyfriend, and Rachel is dead. And Michael is coming up the stairs. And Jamie, it's very, what's the film I'm thinking? Maybe kind of like Phantom of the Opera or even, no, like Dracula, kind of Jamie lies in the coffin to kind of, she's like accepted her fate, so she's going to give herself up to like the monster here.
She's like, Michael, take your mask off, uncle.
Yeah. And calling him uncle makes Michael stop. She asks to see his face. So he takes it off and we kind of get a glimpse in the shadows. He's not blonde anymore. He's had a bit of a dye job.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, you look just like me. We get a close up and he's starting to cry. And she wipes the tear away from him and he pulls back and puts the mask on. He's the monster again.
Nah, bitch, you thought what?
And Loomis then comes in just before he stabs
her. He's still alive, yeah.
Grabs Jamie and is like using her as a human shield and is like, you want her? Well, here she is. He's like, dude, I just had her.
Yeah.
I just had her. Why have you taken her away?
But it's really good that Loomis has a nice chain net to catch Michael here.
Yeah, I don't know how he set this up or when he set this up.
He just got thrown out the fucking balcony of a house to the ground, somehow manages to get back here and has not just a net, a chain link net
that he set up somehow.
And then on top of that, he pulls out a tranquilizer gun.
Yeah.
Tranquilizes Michael.
So
he's not like, even a gun.
He's like lured him into this trap using Jamie, but I've no idea when he set all this up.
What the fuck?
So traps him in the net, starts shooting him with the tranquilizer, but Michael grabs the tranquilizer gun off of him. So Loomis picks up a plank and starts smacking Michael with it, yelling, die, die, die. This is where the stuntman broke his nose. So they had to readjust the mask after this as well because he had to have it all bandaged up.
Oh, my God.
So they had to readjust the mask to fit on his face.
Ridiculous.
Donald Pleasance just smacked him in the face with a fucking plank.
Method acting.
Yeah. And so Michael then falls. We assume he's dead or unconscious, and Loomis falls on top of him. And, well, we don't really learn his fate, do we, in this one?
Loomis?
Yeah.
Yeah, they mention I don't know if he had like a stroke or something along the lines that like he does survive, but like that. But yeah, I mean, Michael didn't really get beat up a whole lot before. I mean, rephrase, the year before he got shot up, exploded in a well, escaped and all that stuff. But here, like a year later, he didn't really get touched by it a lot. So you could argue like, okay, he's getting shot or whatever. But instead of that, it's not even getting shot at. It's a tranquilizer. Mm. So that he tranks him and then beats him with the plank, which yeah. eventually like does in fact like knock him out. So that is like, we know like he's not dead, but he's actually like able to get like handcuffed or whatever.
But yeah, you would think if bullets haven't stopped him in the past,
yeah,
a plank and trank.
Yeah, it's
plank and trank.
Plank and trank connections
would probably, I guess, yeah.
I just howled so much when there's this metal chain net that comes out of nowhere. Like, where the fuck was this plan?
It was, meanwhile, Batman was setting up his thing in Gotham in The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
Just the fire
the
thing.
Fire.
It's like, all this shit's going on, but I better home alone this house.
Yeah. And then, like, so I laugh so hard when it's, like, this metal net. Not to be outdone by the bigger laughs that came when he pulls out a tranquilizer.
Yeah.
In the first movie, he pulls out a gun and the cop's like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I got a permit for that. This one, he's like, nah, fuck real guns. I'm going to use a tranquilizer. I was like, what in the world?
This is where we know he's got the handgun as well.
Yeah, shoot him in the
head.
I guess
he does pass out, doesn't he, onto him.
Oh, okay, fair.
Because I'd be, you know, double tap.
Okay.
That's how
they save that then. Because he's trying to kill him. And
yeah.
then he can't because he's also like unconscious yeah. now too. But wow, what a ridiculous, like I forgot about this part of it. I just laughed so hard. Like, sorry, you have a metal net and then a trank. Great stuff.
So then at the police station.
Yeah, but wait, there's more.
Michael's captured. We think everyone's safe. Michael's going back to prison. When we see a fire breaks out at the police station and we see a silhouette of the man in black.
Not Johnny Cash.
No. Just a long trench coat and hat. And we just hear these gunshots. He's shooting away as in this like fire. And Jamie goes into the station and sees everyone has died and Michael's cell has been broken open.
Ugh.
She just goes, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I didn't even note down during in the film when we do see the man in black, but he's just kind of there in a couple of scenes.
There is watching. A scene watch where this guy's watching, but you don't, like, you don't know anything after this movie, really.
It's the next one where we learn who this guy is,
yeah.
I believe. Yeah.
So you mean like 6 years later it takes to learn that it's a whole big bunch of shit? That this guy is a witch?
Well, they do tie it to the first film at least.
What do they tie it? I forget how they tie it to the
film. He's the doctor.
He's the doctor from the original
yeah.
movie, right?
And there's lines like
that's right,
we talk about Michael driving. It's like,
I taught him how to drive.
Implied, yeah. It's like he helped him escape the first time and all that. So yeah.
It's so bad. Like, they definitely rewrite the wrongs and they'd like go, ooh, that's kind of a good idea. Cause think of Halloween, like 2018, when the whole thing is cause these doctors go in and are actually like, yo, let's try to poke this bear and like get a bigger story out of whatever is going on and which causes the whole chain reaction. So this movie, they're like, well, actually, it's the doctor or whatever. Like, again, you learn that in the sixth one, but really, like, really bad finish here where it's like the guy is put in jail. We've seen him break through bars and get shot and he can't get out of this jail, but then he does because there's a fire and some now next villain is the one who broke him out. It's like, oh man, just,
I don't mind it. Like, I don't mind the idea of it. I think it makes it a bit more, for me, a bit more interesting having someone else
be in charge of
who's
him.
Who's been kind of pulling the strings a little bit.
Right.
And it would have been maybe more interesting in the next one if we, like, you know, maybe that old man at the beginning of this film was the man in black. Maybe at the end of Halloween 1, where his body disappears, you could almost, like, replace him in these scenes throughout the the series that he's always been.
Would have made sense.
Strings.
Yeah, would have made sense.
Because there is that tie that he's the doctor chatting to Loomis at the hospital in the first. You need a, I guess you do need a, I like that it's not just, you know, the eyes open again and I'm alive.
Yeah.
Like you do all the time. So
fair enough.
I don't mind it so much. It's just, this film isn't executed particularly well.
I don't think a lot of things in this movie
I don't know. I still have a soft spot for it. I like this trilogy.
I definitely, after last year watching Halloween 4, for the first time in a long time, I remembered it, I was like, it's not, you know, comparable to the first and some of the other ones, but it's still a lot of fun and still one, like, still good. Watching this one, I had, the same, views as the last time I watched it, maybe like 8 years ago, where I'm like, oh, now they're not even piggybacking off of other movies. They're piggybacking off of all these other movies and this last one that's like not the greatest to kind of start off with a whole trilogy here that they go into. But I would say this one is the weakest of the Thorne trilogy just because it doesn't have Paul Rudd. So that definitely brings the sixth one up. This one, I think I said that my favorite death was, I guess the garden three prong thing to the head. We see him do that in other movies as well, or the scythe thing. So the scythe or whatever.
The deaths really aren't memorable.
No,
in this
that's what I'm saying. Nothing is memorable in this movie. Like I kept trying to think what happens in this. They go to a barn. Okay. Is that in this one? That's it. That's all I remembered. So I was like, it's really not. Something that stands out is really funny to watch today. I howled when the Trank came out.
I feel with this one, they could have, you know, I did like for the first part of Halloween Ends, and then I was like, okay, this is going on too long. I don't like sequels just being, let's do what we did last time with the same characters.
Yeah.
I like they're trying with these three to have some sort of, narrative, but I think you could have pushed the Man in Black thing way more in this film, and
fair,
to make that more of the mythology. I think you should have started it more heavier with this one, but I mentioned my gripes at the beginning about not going with Jamie being a killer in this one. I think that was massive. I thought you were like set up kind of for a bit of a home run at the end of the last one.
I mean,
with that being the cliffhanger, and just to be like, she's fine.
Like we kind of fantasy booking it there, but imagine you went with, okay, she was the killer in the last one. They put her in a thing, award for a whole year. And finally she breaks out. Mm-hmm. And then it's revealed Michael's also alive. Like, you could have done something with them working together. The Man in Black is
Michael
ahead of that.
Trying to break her out.
Literally any of the ways there. It's just really weird. If you knew that this Man in Black character was something you're going to do at the end and do in the sequel, then why wouldn't you properly all of a sudden there's a psychic link? These whole movies have been pretty grounded that it's a guy with a knife, kitchen knife and a mask. Now it's, there's psychic links. It's it's getting too out there for me, which is what a lot of people are saying about the newest one, Halloween Ends. All of a sudden there's psychic links and all this stuff. It's like, wait, this is about a guy who kills people. I don't understand why it has to get even more that route. That's definitely why I don't like this one. I don't like Halloween 6 either, because it goes even more into witchcraft and stuff that. And it's just like, why can't it just be the guy who... But I mean, there's 6 movies of it. What else can we do? We need to go that way.
There's part of it with, how is he always surviving this shit?
So I guess it's...
At some point, you've got to be, if you're going to keep churning out these movies, you can't just have it's a man who's killing people, because he would be dead.
Yeah.
So I think that's why you're almost forced into doing that. And, I mean, I like the idea. Obviously, it didn't catch on, but the idea of Halloween was going to be this anthology, right? And that's what they tried with Season of the Witch, and basically do what American Horror Story is doing, where each season it's completely
different
new story, maybe within this universe you're doing. But at the end of the day, people just want to see Michael Myers kill people, and narratively, you've got to try and find a way why he is still alive and why he is still doing this, I guess.
Yeah.
I still, like, I wouldn't put this at the bottom for me, but it is one of the weaker entries. But I think if the deaths were more creative,
yeah,
a bit more fun, I think I'd have more fun with this movie.
I think after rewatching, I always actually really thought this was probably the worst one because it didn't have Paul Rudd. But I think it is my top, if to rank, second worst one. I think I like Halloween Ends more than I like this movie, which is crazy. But I think Halloween Ends, at least, you know, in 10, 20 years, when we're talking to kids who get into horror movies and start talking about Halloween Ends like the way we're talking about this one, at least they go, how fucking stupid was it that half the movie was this and it wasn't even Michael Myers and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's like, hey, it was shot cool. There's like five deaths in that movie that I can like go, okay, like at least three that I'm like, okay, there was some pretty cool
kid stuff. Right at the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so it's like, okay, there's some cool stuff. This is like definitely least memorable thing. The thing I remember is she's a mute and there's a barn. And I have watched this movie probably like 20 times when I was a kid specifically, but, always a fun watch to watch these movies, but definitely probably one of my least favorites in the whole trilogy. I think even three is better than this one. It has nothing to do with Michael Myers.
I didn't mind.
Yeah, it's three. A standalone movie.
I think people were mad because it
wasn't him,
Michael
but,
Myers, but also it didn't advertise itself as being Michael Myers. Like Halloween Ends, yeah, advertised it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, at least it was like, no, this is something completely different. It's about...
Imagine they remade Halloween 3. That would be great.
Sure, there's talks of it.
That would be great now. Yeah. If you, with the technology and stuff now, like the whole thing, like use TikTok as brainwashing and that Shamrock Shake or whatever the fuck thing. Yeah.
I think the body count in this one is 15.
In Halloween 5?
In Halloween 5. So
that seems higher than it was.
It seems high considering that we don't really.
Who did he kill in this movie? He didn't kill 15 people. How did he kill 15 people in this movie? That's nuts.
IMDb said, yeah.
Unless you're counting... Okay, hold on. Well, the dog...
It didn't count. It said excluding the dog.
All right. I mean, the two boyfriends, Tina and Rachel, the cop, the other cop, I guess. Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, the old guy at the beginning.
Oh, true. The
Rachel,
old guy.
Rachel...
Tina,
Mike and Spitz and Sammy
and Tina,
the two deputies,
yeah,
and
okay.
Tina,
it's getting up there. It's getting up
Eddie
there.
The cop, Charlie the cop, Max, who's Max? They find Max and Patsy, their bodies are just found. The sheriff, sheriff's killed by a man. Okay, the people at the end killed by the man in black, so they're counting those
a few people
in the end.
Okay.
You just see the bodies at the end.
It doesn't count.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say it's on the weaker end of the scale, but still always an enjoyable watch. Like I said, AMC Fear Fest used to run a lot of them just in order. Just be like, today we're just going to play these three in a row. And I'd be like, yeah, all right, I'll watch it. And as soon as I got to this one, I'd be like, all right, this is where I'm doing other things, or just like always. Never really liked this one, but still really entertaining, and got way too many laughs out of Sam Loomis going off on, why are you protecting him?
He's the worst. It's so funny.
She's a little kid, bro. Relax. He's great. Highlight of the film.
Yep.
Yeah. We have some feedback.
We do, yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to Justin K, who writes in. Yes, he says, my absolute favorite episode of the year. I stay world champ to make you all watch Halloween Resurrection if you decide to give up. He says, okay, so this movie has pros and cons. The pros, Loomis, the goat gimping around after Michael and Michael murking the niece of the old hermit. Uncalled for, Mikey.
No, the nice old hermit.
Oh, the nice old hermit. Yeah. Sorry, yes. Yeah, I mean, they're trying to get it over that he's bad, so that he kills the nice guy that saved him. The cons, worst mask in the series. He's emo Michael Myers here. He should be listening to Morrissey, not stalking. Worst character in the series, Tina. Worst retcon in the series, totally pussing out on the hackable Jamie as the next killer. That would have
been hateable.
Hateable, yeah. Sorry, yes. It's a series catering towards disaster. Can't wait. Justin from NYC. Yeah, kind of the things that we kind of said. Like, they instantly retcon something that happened. They're like, hey, this changed instantly. Then the mask looks completely looks like it was a completely different movie than some of the other masks. And then having Tina, I mean, Tina was Tina, but you kind of said, like, why is she such a bitch when your friend, like, there was killings a year ago. Why are we so happy about this?
Yeah.
So unlikable characters for sure.
At least in the new one, Laurie, who's planning to celebrate Halloween this year.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm done with letting this shit rule my life.
Right.
And I'm going to have fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's, but like,
we didn't even get that line.
We don't get that.
No one tells us that.
No one says that. Yeah. It's a year on as well. Also, Laurie's dealt with this cunt so many times that fuck it. It's just Michael
again. Yeah, yeah.
Right. We go to Jesse from the 6. Ah, yes, Illinois, the state where in late October you'll find sunny skies, birds chirping, and green leaves on every tree. If Halloween 4 was a passable pastiche of a slasher film, Halloween 5 is that school project you had a great idea for, but then forgot to work on until the night before it was due. This film seems rushed. Half the dialogue sounds like it was recorded in a voiceover booth because the boom mic on set didn't work. The man in black Celtic cult guy makes absolutely no sense in this film, and even the casting was lazy. You couldn't find guys without thinning hair to cast as high schoolers? Oh well, shout out Donald Pleasance for getting that money. This movie was ass, but I'm sure your review will be great. Your Halloween reviews have become a spooky tradition for me and many other listeners. I look forward to the next year. Paul Rudd and Halloween Havoc 98, spooky season 2023 will be bumping at the BDE.
Thank you, Jesse.
Yeah, yes. Thank you.
He's not wrong. I can't wait to talk about Paul Rudd, who looks the same.
I always just remember this bit, and I probably said this last year when we were going off about Paul Rudd as well, when we went, wait, is he in the next film?
Yeah.
Is Michael coming down the corridor and Paul Rudd with like a baseball bat, and he's like, huh, all right, let's go. So he does that like facial expression.
Right, yeah.
Great stuff.
Yeah. We'll just hype. It's going to be hyped up as one
Let's
of the biggest.
See if we can get him on the show.
Get Paul. He's not doing anything lately.
No, he's not very busy.
That's crazy. He launched his career.
Yeah,
pretty much. Right. Was he doing stuff before that?
I guess we'll have to
talk about that next year on the Halloween 6 review. Thank you, Jesse and Justin, for writing in here. And yes, Jesse, I hope Donald Pleasance got that fucking bag. I bet he did for 2 weeks worth. He probably got paid more than anybody else on that movie.
I would think so, yeah.
Because he definitely is like part of the glue that would have kept whatever story that is going there. Jesse's hosting a little Halloween spooky movie marathon thing we're going to.
Yeah, do we know what the movie is?
I don't. He didn't tell me. I offered like, hey, if you need any like movies and stuff, we have a bunch of them here. Mm. So I was like, I don't know what you're planning on watching, but I'm excited. So we'll let you know. Listeners, other scary stuff? What are your traditions around Halloween? Ours are hanging about, talking about Halloween movies, watching them, podcasting about them. We like spooky stuff. We have some costumes. Be sure to follow our socials because we will be posting our Halloween costumes, especially on Monday, the Halloween, or maybe you're listening to this and we already did. So go check it out. But if you want to hear more of us talking all about spooky stuff, for $5 a month, patreon.com/upnext, North American tier, you get access to almost 500 podcasts, and a lot of them are movie reviews, like scary movie reviews. This year, we did The Omen, Hocus Pocus 1 and 2. Last year, we did The Exorcist. We've done so many different scary movies that are in that back catalog.
Got a bunch of Friday 13ths out there, Nightmare on Elm Street,
we've
Scream,
done it all. Yeah.
Saw, loads.
We've done so many, so go check all the stuff out in the back catalog. And again, it's only $5. When you sign up, it gives you a whole month to sign up and get access to everything. There's the RSS feed. It links to your podcast app, whatever you're using. You get all the BDE podcasts at your leisure, and we would love for you to check them out, because the Omen review we just did was awesome with Bash from Horror Press. That was a whole lot of fun. So we love this time of month, and it's sad that we got to put our pumpkin spice lattes away and start having some candy cane lattes and eggnog and gingerbread and all that stuff. So can't wait. Once you stop hearing the Halloween themes or the thrillers or the Ghostbusters, you know Mariah Carey's not too far away.
Oh, God. Michael, save us.
Michael, why are you protecting him? Thank you guys so much. UPNXT Podcast on Twitter. And I myself, Braden Harrington, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, at the Bray D.
And you can find me at Davey Portman.
That's it. That's all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And yeah, I already did the impression, but happy Halloween.
Ahoy!